Good afternoon, you're very welcome to today's edition of Saturday with Clare Byrne. On today's programme, the game is up, say the opposition. Not so fast, says government. Just what's behind the battle over the future of Noreen O'Sullivan as Garda Commissioner? Confusion and perhaps dismay for the contenders as Enda signs up for a June trip to the United States. And we'll ask Minister Dennis Nocton about why the government chief whip is unhappy with his plans for pylons. First though, it's time for the news now with Sharon Tobin. Sharon, thank you very much. This is Saturday with Clare Byrne. You're welcome to the programme. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text us on 51551, email saturday@rte.ie, and on Twitter, it's @SaturdayRTE. Joining us in the studio today, we have Minister for Communications, Climate Action and the Environment, Dennis Nocton, Alan Kelly, Labour TD and Vice Chair of the Public Accounts Committee, Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil TD, Christina Finn, Political Correspondent with thejournal.ie, and Michael Clifford, Special Correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Michael, I'm going to start with you because I have your article in front of me here today, and I think you're cutting Noreen O'Sullivan a bit of slack today, are you not? Currently, much of the focus on the travails of An Garda Síochán is directed at Noreen O'Sullivan, yet she could well argue that her biggest problem is dumb luck. Explain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, delighted here I'm cutting her a bit of slack, Claire. No, I'm only making a point that Noreen O'Sullivan has major questions to answer. There's no doubt about that, and I've documented that as much as anyone. But you have to put it in the context of where the Gardaí are at the moment. And where the Gardaí are at is that chickens are coming home to roost. There has been a process of change that effectively began with the 05 Act, which followed the Morris Tribunal, that that process was, there was resistance to all the oversights that were put in that, GSOC, the Garda Inspectorate, everything. Then you had the scenario where Sergeant Maurice McCabe came out, there was the whole whistleblower thing. All of that is now coming home to roost. The person in situ is Noreen O'Sullivan.
So it's taken all this time since 2005.
It has taken all of this time since 2005 to get to this point. And Noreen O'Sullivan personally has major questions to answer. There's major issues over her judgment, over how she has handled the portfolio since she went in there. She came in proclaiming herself to be a new brush, that she was going to instigate reform. A number of issues have arisen that completely dispute that. Yet if she, any of her predecessors, they were all in a position to effectively cover anything like this up, and that was done down through the years. And it should also be stated, we go on and on about Garda management. If you look back at the history of everything, Garda management have received cover from successive governments all the way back to the 70s, perhaps before then, but that's as far as I'm au fait with things. But they have received cover from successive governments all the way, and now I think largely because of the oversight bodies, because of individuals like Maurice McCabe, and particularly of late, and this is the newest reform that I think is really going to have an impact, and that's the setting up of the policing authority. Because of all of those, all of these things are finally coming out. They're coming out in a particular way at a particular time. For example, the civilians we've seen that are in conflict with the uniformed officers in management. In the late 70s, there was a management report, I referred to it there today, that recommended the civilianisation of the force. That is only feeding through now, some 20 years later. And we see the results. We see that the civilians are not as encumbered to the culture that has been there prior to this.
So, and she's a victim of this, right? On the one hand, but on the other hand, you're saying she's not dealing properly with the issues that have arisen. Is that fair?
Yes, when she came in 2014, there was an idea. She was the first female commissioner. She was somebody who's loads of ability, and she said a number of things herself, all of which pointed towards a new way of doing things within the force, a clean brush, something completely new. That has not happened. Even if the legacy stuff was coming out now, even if she had handled herself as a genuine reformist since 2014, she could be expected some slack, but she hasn't done that. We've seen that repeatedly. I wrote a piece yesterday about going back to 2014 right up to now, the number of times she has come out and said something, and that has been in conflict with the evidence when that eventually emerged. In previous years and decades, that conflicting evidence simply would not have emerged. What the commissioner said went, and so to that extent she can consider herself unlucky, but by no means has she handled herself properly at all since she went in there.
Well, Alan Kelly, you've been up in arms about the commissioner and how all of this is playing out, but you were part of the government that appointed this person.
Yeah, obviously, I had other things on my mind that time during that period: water, housing, homelessness. Yeah, but I was part of the government. Is it something I regret? Yes. Now, because I believe that we're in such a serious position now that the security of our state is at issue, and I don't say that lightly. I raised these issues in the Dáil. I was the first person to raise them on April the 12th, a month nearly before they were raised in the PAC. Minister Fitzgerald still hasn't got back to me. Mick talk about chickens coming home to roost. But the issue is this, is that there needs to be a high bar. We're talking about the Garda Commissioner here. The standards didn't come in 2014. Everything stayed the same. In fact, it's my belief, and many of my colleagues, that things have got worse. We have the issues now in relation to the whistleblowers under Charlton, McCabe, Taylor and Harrison. The issues in relation to the breath tests, the penalty points, summonses. Issues in relation to homicide figures. Today we have issues in relation to domestic violence figures. And we have all the issues in relation to Templemore. And trust me when I say this, there are going to be more issues raised in the next few days and weeks.
Like
serious issues. I'm not going to get into them here, that's for others. But I mean, there's going to be serious issues raised in relation to many of the areas that I spoke about there. And it's just, you can't continue on like this. These are the Gardaí we're talking about. This is about confidence in the force that actually maintains law and order in this country. And politics is failing. Politics is failing the people at the moment in time. Let's be straight about this. The Oireachtas doesn't have confidence in maintaining this commissioner in place. I believe the force doesn't have confidence in maintaining their leader in place. Right? I believe the public are sick and tired of this. The layers here and the layers that are going to continue. And we've got three things going on here. So we've got the Charlton inquiry, which is going on in relation to whistleblowers. We've also then got the Rootin branch review, which is going on at the moment as well, in relation to the force by Kathleen O'Toole.
And then this was the one that the Independents wanted, the Rootin branch review.
Do you know what? That's fine. We agree with that. But now you've got the issues in relation to Templemore, which are being investigated by the guards themselves. I'm on the PAC. The inconsistencies between the Commissioner and her own staff, the inconsistencies between the Commissioner and the Department of Justice, who were actually in this week, is incredible. I must say this. We can't have the guards investigating themselves when it comes to this issue, right?
But as you say yourself, your committee is looking at all of this, and Frances Fitzgerald says, let the committee do its work. Stop jumping up and down and demanding that she's gotten rid of.
The committee will do its work, as the PAC always does. To be fair, it's an independent constitutional committee of which I'm the vice chair. But in order to get to the bottom of this, we need a situation where the fraud squad, overseen by GSOC, overseen by international independent experts, come in and look at what has gone on here for the last number of decades and also what has gone on here for the last number of years.
But how can you make that judgment call now? And how can you say that Noreen should go now? Because you're not finished your work yet.
Two things here. Firstly, I'm a member of Dáil Éireann. I actually happen to represent Templemore. I spent 4 hours there yesterday. Okay, 4 hours in Templemore doing my work as a TD, right? Meeting the people, talking to the people and doing all of that as well, right? I am the vice chair of the PAC. The PAC will, and we leave politics outside the door when we go in there. The PAC will do its job. But I'm also a TD who has to make a judgment call here in early May in relation to what's the best for the people of Ireland. And my party and I believe that the best for the people of Ireland is that we cannot continue, given the serious issues that are out there, incredible issues, with the leadership of the force, with this commissioner in charge.
Two people sitting beside you who could influence this perhaps more than you can as a Labour TD.
Yes.
And I saw that you sent a message to Dennis and his independent colleagues in government
during
the week.
Got a response.
Did anyone reply to it? Dennis, did you see that message? He wanted to know
just for
if
your
you had
listeners, I wrote to himself, I wrote to Minister Ross, I wrote to Minister Zappone, Minister McGrath, and I asked them all, had they confidence in the Commissioner? Not one of them have replied yet.
Dennis Mount.
First of all, I think, look, there's a lot of excellent people within An Garda Síochána, but look, there's no doubt about it, there's a crisis of confidence within the organisation and there's a crisis of credibility among the public in relation to An Garda Síochána. And when this issue came before Cabinet a number of weeks ago, when we had the issues in relation to the penalty points, in relation to Garda data, in relation to drink driving, I clearly articulated at that cabinet meeting that we needed to have a root and branch review of An Garda Síochána and the organisation, because the structures that are there today are pretty much the structures that have been there since the foundation of the state. And you know, one of the key questions I think needs to be answered.
Can I just sit to, and Mick Clifford will tell you this himself, but he writes, ultimately all that's required is a good read of all the reports and recommendations that have been published in the last 20 years. And he's not alone in saying that we really don't need that additional review.
And I don't disagree with what Mick Clifford is saying, but what we need now is to see action in relation to it, and we need to have practical steps, a root and branch reorganisation. We need to look at the management structures within the organisation. We also need to find out, you know, is it right that An Garda Síochána should be dealing with both policing in the state and security of the state?
And is Noreen O'Sullivan the right person to lead An Garda Síochána?
The Cabinet have confidence. I, as a member of the Cabinet, have confidence in Noreen O'Sullivan to answer Alan Kelly's question. And the reality is that if Noreen O'Sullivan went tomorrow morning, we still have the same issues that need to be addressed. And those issues need to be addressed right throughout the organisation. And I think that Noreen O'Sullivan is in the best position to deliver those reforms.
Okay, Christina Finn, you want to come in there?
Yeah,
and then we'll come to
I think there was great hope that when Noreen O'Sullivan was made Garda Commissioner in 2014 that there was going to be widespread reforms, that she was a new person. But she was working under the previous commissioner at the time. And when you look back over her years that she's been in there, where she made promises about reforms, what reforms have actually been done? Like, can you name any? Do you know what I mean? What has actually been done at that time? All we've had is scandal after scandal. It would be different. Now we have the latest one with Temple Moore. And she might be able to put that down to legacy issues. And she says it was a number of years ago. But this is on the back of, as we said, breath tests, 15,000 wrongful convictions, phone calls, recording, whistleblowers scandal. It comes to a point where the public are going to have little or no confidence in the guards. And we've seen what happens when people start to get disenfranchised with be it water charges or whatever. Do we really want people actually having no confidence in the guard? And what sort of effects are that going to have on the streets? I think it comes to a point where, as you said, you're in government yourself, Dennis, and Fianna Fáil particularly as well. There is, well, Fianna Fáil says they can't do anything to remove the Garda Commissioner. You can make a stand and prompt the government into action. You guys are propping them up.
That's fear of election, though, that stops you doing that, Dara, isn't it?
No, there's a reality. There is an absolute crisis of confidence in the Gardaí and in the Commissioner, and that permeates out into the public, and that's a big issue. Okay, so you leave the politics out of it for 1 minute, and you actually say that the authority of the guards themselves, I believe, is actually being threatened. And you see that by the reaction of people to Gardaí. Normal guards are out there doing their job at the moment, because it's like death by a thousand cuts at the moment. It's constant. It's, Alan has mentioned, other things will be coming forward next week. It's just a constant drip, drip, drip. And it's really serious, because it's the security of the state.
And you could do something about
it. Well, sorry, but we are. But what I would say to you is the person who is charged under the Constitution and An Garda Síochána, the Section 11 of the An Garda Síochána Act, the Minister for Justice and the Cabinet are the ones who can remove a Garda Commissioner. The Dáil cannot. Now, I have said it, Jim O'Callaghan, our Justice spokesperson, have said it, we believe that the Garda Commissioner should resign. But we can't be party to an illegal act, that is the Dáil effectively. The Dáil effectively passing a motion. I don't agree with that, because that, it's Cabinet, it's the Minister for Justice, who's not here to answer for herself.
But would that not send a statement?
But let me say one thing. If you're a Minister for Justice, you're responsible, okay, for the justice system in the country. I believe that this Minister for Justice has effectively been hiding for the last number of weeks. Not one of her colleagues will come on this show. Are they on any show to defend the Fine Gael party themselves about what's happening with policing? So the reality of it is, it's in the gift of government to make the changes that are required now. But Dáil motion is not going to change that. And we won't be party to a situation whereby you're just passing
just
a motion.
We invited Dennis Naughton to represent the government.
Well,
here
that's
today.
Okay. I know Dennis was Fine Gael. He's not anymore. But I don't know whether RTÉ have actually invited Frances Fitzgerald onto any shows of
late.
I'm
sure she has.
Well,
invited,
but has she? Then she has obviously rejected those requests. That's a fundamental issue, because people want to know, when is this going to be resolved? And it won't be resolved by just continuing day by day and allowing all these.
What
things
do you
happen.
Think of the Fianna Fáil position?
I think it's untenable. And you know, it look.
What's untenable about it?
The position is untenable. It's untenable for the following reasons. You can say that the Cabinet need to act and all of that. But ultimately here, when you boil all of this down, when ultimately in the next couple of weeks you boil all of this down, there's going to be a focus now to move away from the Commissioner. If she's going to hard-nose this and say that she's staying, by the way, she's out of the country again at the moment, similar to when the guards are about to go on strike, she she's gone out of the country for whatever reasons, and the Department of Justice has signed off on this for some reason.
She's on annual leave, I understand, yeah, well, that's what I read
everyone's
today.
Everyone's entitled to annual leave, but it seems strange the Department would sign off on it at this point. But anyway, that's for another day. But Fianna Fáil's position is untenable, because ultimately, when you boil all of this down, given where we are and what's happened already today and what's going to happen in the next coming weeks, it'll come down where the focus will move from the Commissioner onto the Minister for Justice. Right? Because the Minister for Justice is in hiding. Minister for Justice...
Wait a second.
Let me finish my point, please. I didn't interrupt you. The Minister for Justice, since April the 12th, has directly known about this. There are issues into what the Department said in PAC during the week. For instance, they were told about this in... They gave evidence. This is evidence given by the Assistant Secretary. They were told about this in October by accident, by being CC'd on an email. They were on this committee in November, even though the Commissioner said she acted promptly in July, right? So there's a three-month delay here as well. So the focus will come in on the tarnished there. And at that point, we'll come down to the following. Either the government are going to deal with this situation in relation to leadership of the Gardaí, or we'll end up in a situation where there's a general election. It's as simple as that.
And they are the options, right? But what I'm saying to you is, legally right now, Alan, you were a cabinet. I have never served a cabinet. The reality is, the law, the cabinet can ensure...
The reality is, if Fianna Fáil marched into the office of Enda Kenny, this issue would have to be dealt with one way or the other.
Well, again, and I didn't actually interrupt
the rules
you
in the,
either.
All the rules in the world wouldn't change that.
What I want to say to you is, there's a legal position. And the legal position, as you... It's not a cop-out. It's the truth. It's the law.
Let the public
decide. It's the law that we're actually that we're there to defend. The reality is, the Minister for Justice can affect this change. I would like to see that change happen. Okay. Absolutely. I think there's a change at the top.
There's a context to both the policing and the politics of the policing. In terms of the politics of the policing, personally, I think both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the government in general are using this for politics again. The government do not want to get rid of Noreen O'Sullivan because of the manner in which Martin Callan was got rid of, because they don't know how exactly to replace her, because they're going to have to take the leap, if they were to get rid of her, to bring somebody in, most likely from outside the state, and that would create, it would be a major departure.
So I don't believe for a second
that when people in Fine Gael or the government, and the greatest respect to Dennis, come forward and say they have confidence in the Commission. I don't believe they have confidence in the sense of how we understand that term. Fianna Fáil, look, go back over the history of the thing. Fianna Fáil, when it suited them, they let the police do what they wanted. When it didn't, they didn't, depending on whether they were in government or opposition.
What are you talking about? Go back to the 70s, go back to the 80s, go back to all those.
Go back to
Sergeant McCabe and how my party leader, Micheál Martin, dealt with that.
But if it wasn't for him and others, he acted on it.
And he acted on it in a very decisive way and made sure that the whistleblowers were absolutely listened to. So reject that completely,
Grant,
Mick.
You can't just make sweeping statements like that. No, it's not a sweeping.
When it suits a party.
Excuse me.
I respect an Garda Síochána.
When Fianna Fáil was in government, they went along with exactly what suited the Gardaí. When they were in opposition, go back to the heavy gang, go back to a number of scandals throughout history.
You look at a situation when this state itself was under attack. I think where a lot of this goes back to it, when the Provisional IRA and Sinn Féin and others were actually attacking the state and murdering police officers all across this country. There was a situation, a security situation, that was dealt with, and a lot of that had to be priority at the time. What I'm talking about is now, and what needs to happen now. And I believe that there does need to be a change at the top, and there's an inevitability, in my view, personally, that's going to actually have
but
to happen.
But you're not willing to push it to the point where you'll trigger a general election in order to do that.
It's not to do with policing, it's to do with the politics.
At the end of the day, the Garda Síochána Act governs what can happen here, and the Minister for Justice and the government are responsible.
How can they hide behind this? It's not credible. There's a thing called real politics, the thing called law, and you know the reality is here that
even if you had a change at the top of the organisation tomorrow morning, there needs to be a requirement for systemic change within an Garda Síochána. Now remember that when Noreen O'Sullivan was appointed,
she was the first
commissioner that was appointed independently through a new process. At the time, the competition, they went out and actively sought people around the world to compete for this. And Noreen O'Sullivan won that particular competition. She was seen as the best candidate for the job.
And you still think she's the right person to do it.
What we need to see is systemic change within the organisation, and that's beginning to happen, and it's been driven by the establishment of the policing authority and the work that Josephine Fahey is doing there, and work is ongoing in relation to that. Now, I think at this stage what we need is to pull all the reports that are there before, look at what is best practice. We've seen it, there's been a reform of the police in New York that has been hugely successful,
Dennis?
There. Well, the Patent Commission in the North didn't take that long to complete its report.
We've had the Independent Alliance came out and called for a root and branch review and for an international expert to head that up. And in fairness, there is a chief of police from Seattle doing that. We've appointed one person. I believe there's a few more names coming. How long does it take to have been hearing about root and branch review,
well, first
I'd say,
of all,
for the past
Kathleen
three
O'Toole
or four months.
Served
and we have another, is another scandal going to come out?
Absolutely, loads more are coming.
First of all, Christine, Kathleen O'Toole served on the Patent Commission, mm-hmm. right? The Patent Commission came up with its recommendations in a very tight timescale, and they were implemented. And it was a very different context in Northern Ireland, but it has pretty much the support of everyone in Northern Ireland now. So, like, it can be done. So, and
it has
been done.
The policing authorities is the crucial.
Darryl, just let me finish. It has been mm-hmm. done in Northern Ireland. This is not a simple step to take, but that is happening. The reforms are happening.
Some of the reforms
as
have been
as we speak,
when people ask,
and we need to drive those forward.
Okay. We've had lots of messages on this. One from a Garda who says politicians have under-resourced on Garda Síochána for decades, and that's coming home now to bite them. They promoted from superintendent up, and they promoted their own. I mean, that comes back to under-resourcing under Fianna Fáil governments.
Well, I think, look, there's been under-resourcing for the last 6-7 years. There's no question about that in particular. OK, and it was part of our insistence and the confidence and supply arrangement that the Garda numbers would get back up to 15,000. Now, the reality of it is with regard to reform. When we talk about motions and about the Dáil speaking, we published the legislation in relation to giving additional power to the policing authority. We'd be solutions focused on these type of things. And that's something that needs to happen because there's major reforms. And I'd actually agree with what's been said. We don't need more reports. We know what needs to be done. But also, we need to see...
So we don't need the report that the independent
Senate
has done.
I'm not actually sure we do, to be very honest with you. I think
what it is a commission to draw all these strands together.
It's all there.
And actually starts there. You're right.
Make your argument
there. The future policing in Ireland, 2015, the Garda Inspectorate. That is the principal document. But there are numerous reports apart from that that have... There's reference to the Patent Commission. The only element of the Patent Commission that really refers to the issues that there are in the Garda Síochána at the moment was that aspect of it whereby people in senior management who were there a long time were encouraged to take early retirement. It cost a few bob. People had to be paid off or whatever. And in order to bring in a new layer of senior management to bring in the type of reforms that were required. That is all that is needed in terms of a commission, in terms of patent.
As you know, the policing authority is now in charge of making appointments at superintendent level, and they can bring in people from outside the force as well. That is happening now, as we speak.
The policing authority is a good move. We set it up, and we insisted on setting it up. But there's a few things here just to pull this back. So we're talking about reform. So if you want the examples of where reform, why we know that this comes up to the very current period, why we know that this isn't going to work under the current leadership. So there was Kin Roan, who was the legal advisor, wrote to the commissioner and advised under Section 41 of the Garda Síochána Act that she had to inform the minister. Mm-hmm. She didn't do so. Yeah. Now, that shows that reform hasn't happened. Second issue, and if you wanted...
And didn't the minister then say that she didn't have to?
I'll tell you, Claire. Wait till we see the letter, and you'll see how it's worded in it. I believe she was obliged to
it's
do
in
it.
The act,
right? It's in the act. It says shall, right? I can read it out for you here. The second issue, right? So we found out in the PAC on Thursday with Justice that they were told about this in October. They had the first meeting in November. This is the Department of Justice sitting on a group in relation to Temple Moor, but yet the Department of Justice, who were sitting on it, and this is set up since July, who were sitting on this group looking at Temple Moor, didn't get the internal auditor involved until March. Now, is that reform? No, it's not. Right? Two issues here, and I believe it comes down to, and my colleague here, I have great respect for the minister, Fianna Fáil in particular, Mr. Ross and all his colleagues. There's a duty on these people. Like, there's a duty on politicians to do the right thing now. And they're failing in their duty. And I believe,
I believe that if this matter isn't dealt with by this government, and dealt with in particular by this minister, then we are facing into the inevitability of a general election in the coming weeks. It gets down to that, because the focus will move in here on the minister and the Tánaiste and what has happened over the last number of months.
It will
get into a level of detail through what's going to happen through the PAC and everything. And you can say all about the PAC and the work is going to go on for weeks and possibly months. But in the meantime, when you don't have confidence in the leadership of Gardaí, are you going to continue to allow them to actually be the guardians of the information that's meant to come through the investigations in the first place? No, you're not.
It was interesting during leaders' questions there on Thursday, and the Tánaiste was up, and I believe Brendan Helen, the leader of the Labour Party, made sort of an impassioned plea to the Tánaiste.
Exactly.
He said he called her, I think, a capable and compassionate politician, signal. Said that he knew her for years, and he pretty much said to her, he was like, do not be an obstacle to this. Do not hitch your wagon to Noreen O'Sullivan, because you're going to be dragged down with it. And I think that's fundamentally where the shift is coming from. We've heard about Fianna Fáil now this week, or in discussions about possible motions or not motions.
Can we just talk about that for a minute? Hear that Fianna Fáil would not support the reappointment under a new leader of Francis Fitzgerald as Justice Minister.
Yeah.
That was reported. Do you have any more on that?
Tara's sitting here.
Don't ask him in a minute. Don't worry.
I think it's interesting the way that the Fianna Fáil have put motions forward about no confidence in Garda management and haven't gone so far to say
legislation as well.
But I think there's too much politics playing between the two parties on this. I think it's not going to play out very well for any of them.
Yeah. Absolute nonsense. That it's not.
Never happened.
No, it didn't. And I don't even know I don't even know where that report came from. And the reality of it is, I find it interesting that the fixation on where Fianna Fáil stands, when Fine Gael are the ones who have the Justice Minister who can act on this, and where the cabinet that Dennis sits on can act on this tomorrow morning.
Because of the power that you wield over this
but
government.
They are the government.
You're
and
holding
the Minister
them up
for Justice
well.
Has to act. I believe she does have to. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you once, right? The government are there to. She has the power to act. And the Minister for Justice will be brought into this. But I want to answer your question.
Fianna Fáil.
No, the reality of it is the Minister should act anyway because she's duty-bound to do so as Minister for Justice. There was no question of any type of idea that there would be a veto on her reappointment as Minister. I don't even have a clue where that came from. That was absolute nonsense.
So you'd be happy enough if she was reappointed under the new leader?
The confidence and supply arrangement, it's very, very clear. A Taoiseach in a government appoints the ministers, not the opposition. So we won't be in any way do it. It'll be up to whoever the next Taoiseach is. We could have had a situation, and remind people, if we didn't go in to facilitate the operation of this government, we'd probably be in the third or fourth general election right now. So I don't like the arrangement, I would like the alternative less of three or four dealing with all the issues like Brexit, dealing with the issues with the Gardaí. Can you imagine what that would be like in a cycle of continual elections? So we've acted responsibly in this regard, and we'll continue to do so.
There's a big danger. There's a big danger here, Claire. We have a tendency, both in terms of our political and media culture here, to boil things down to going after a head, as was famously, I think, said in one political crisis 20 years ago or whatever. And that's a huge danger. Now, the way things look, it doesn't seem, certainly, that Noreen O'Sullivan is, if I could put it this way, ideally placed to be the person to drive forward a reform agenda from here. But the idea that all of this boils down to whether, how and when Noreen O'Sullivan will go or whatever, I think completely misses the point. Mm-hmm. And that point is the state of the force and how bad it is. Because if, for example, in some capacity or other, Miss O'Sullivan no longer serves as commissioner, if there is some kind of an interim commissioner, if you set up this commission on the future of policing, all you are doing is setting back 2 or 3 years the type of reform that should start now. And if she is not deemed to be the person to drive that forward, then moves should be made to put an alternative management structure in there straight away and not
and
wait
what,
for
what
this
what do you
kind
say
of
to Minister Dennis Nocton's point, about all of the effort that went into the appointment of Noreen O'Sullivan, all of the international people who were interviewed,
absolutely,
and she was deemed the best
absolutely
candidate?
And as Christina said at the time, and I would agree with this, and I was of the opinion myself, there was great hope that she would be the new broom for reform. However, the issues around temp example, Moore. The issues around the O'Higgins Commission and Maurice McCabe, all of those issues, they have all occurred since her appointment in 2014. They all point to the fact that she has she's effectively a prisoner of the culture that she spent her career in, rather than being somebody to bring in a new style of reform. And that's to the heart of the problem.
There's three civilians that have pretty much blown the whistle on this. I think that's an interesting point in terms of this was going on for how many years and how many guards were in Templemore, how many management knew about this. And it's an auditor and it's a HR boss.
Not
that
actually kept out of it for 8 years.
Exactly.
Mick and Christina have picked up on a key point here. First of all, you're right. There's three civilians there in senior posts in An Garda Síochána. So the reform is happening. There's an assistant commissioner that has been appointed from outside the Gardaí. We now have a situation since the 1st of January that the policing authority makes senior management appointments within the Gardaí. It's no longer political appointments that are made or approved by
government. But there are reports that they're being weighed upon.
As you increase the number of non Garda Síochána personnel at senior management level, and as Mick said earlier on in relation to what happened in Northern Ireland, that was one of the key things that took place in Northern Ireland.
But Dennis,
in
you're saying
to
the one hand, look, the reform is happening,
yes,
and yet you're saying that we need this review under Cathy
O'Toole. And the reason that we need this review is to do what Mick Clifford has said, to pull together all of, if you go back to the Maurice Tribunal, like, there's been a lot of very good recommendations made here, and they have sat in reports on desks and line items.
We have the policing authority now. We have the civilians who are whistleblowing. You know, what more can you hope to find out or achieve?
One of the key questions that I would like answered, and I'm dealing with this today now in relation to the cybersecurity issue here in this country, is should state security and policing be held under the one agency on Garda Síochána, or should they be separated? That is a key question that needs to be answered. Also, are the management structures that we have, the structures themselves, the most appropriate structures to manage the organisation today? I have big question marks in relation to that. And a lot of those structures are there since the foundation of the state. Now, yes, you can bring in new people, and we are bringing in new people, and those new people are some of the people that are in the headlines at the moment, and that will continue to happen. But the fundamental structure of the organisation needs to be looked at. And what we need to do is to pull together all of these recommendations in a series of reports.
Well,
to look at what is best practice very tight timeline back with practical, implementable actions.
Joe says give the Commissioner a chance to do her job instead of spending her time being accountable to the Minister, to PAC, to the Policing Authority, to GSOC, the Dáil, etc., and answering politically motivated questions from politicians and the media. Alan Kelly.
Look, we all have our jobs to do. There's no doubt that what Christina and Mick said in relation to being a bigger issue here than just one person is absolutely true. 100% true. Okay? The ordinary decent guard is out there, and we all have friends who are Gardaí. I have loads of friends who are Gardaí. My best friend is a guard. They're decent people. 99% of the force are incredibly hardworking. They do save lives every day, every week. They do amazing work. We know that. But they need to be supported, and they need to be shown leadership. Three things going on here. Charlton, we know about. The review of the structures, we know about. I'm saying quite publicly here, you can have a situation with what happened in Templemore, which is very symbolic, because it's been done for decades, can be investigated by the guards. The GSOC have to administer, with international experts, an investigation here, and issues in relation to fraud or potentially or anything else. That's the second thing. The third thing is this. I'm sitting inside of the PAC, and I'm looking at the dynamic that's going on in the room. And you've got John Barrett, who's done the State Serious Service, Ken Ruan, Niall Kelly, right? And then you've got the Commissioner, Assistant Commissioner, Michael Culhane and others. And I can honestly say this. I cannot see in any way, shape or form how that management team can now function again with this commissioner as leader. And that is my core issue.
The civilian management team.
The whole lot of it. Full stop. But the civilian management team, I can't see how we can have a Garda, the Gardaí functioning, whereby these people have to work together under the current leadership. The level of contradictions inside in the meetings is incredible. And by the way,
as I've said previously, there is layers more to this and it'll come out. Now, how can I just say this out straight to the Irish people? How can you have a situation where the management of the Gardaí at the highest level can't work together? And it's, you can see it in the room, can't work together. And while we have this commissioner in place, and yet the political establishment can fail the people by allowing that to continue. And it is bigger than one person. But that dynamic is real and it exists. And I've seen it. I chaired the meeting.
Okay.
These people are contradicting one another all over the place. And the civilian members were giving very good points.
And Dennis Nocton, and probably to a lesser extent, well, said you yourself, Dara, and Fianna Fáil, you both have the ability to deal with this.
Well, who are you asking that question? If you let me answer that question and answer it again. I'd agree with Alan on much of what he said. Public confidence is absolutely eroded and morale in the Gardaí is eroded, and we know that, and we have a duty to deal with it. And the people who can deal with it under law is the Minister for Justice. That's the person, and the government could deal with it, and they could deal with it on Monday. And this is an urgent...
Deal with it today.
They could deal with it today, but it should happen, because the problem is you've got to question the ability of senior Garda management to be able to bring about the reforms that are needed. Some reforms have been happening. Some reforms have. The beefing up of policing authorities, other things. The structural changes. How can the leadership of the Gardaí deliver those changes? Mm-hmm. I can't see how that can actually happen. So the Minister for Justice can act on this and should act on this, in my view.
OK, I read a report about the Cabinet meeting that you referred to earlier where this was discussed, and it said that you were very vocal on this issue along with others. So Fine Gael don't want to lose a second commissioner, and you can understand that. But what's stopping the Independent Alliance from pushing this?
General,
well, you'd have to ask the Independent Alliance about that. But what I think is crucial here is that we have confidence within an organisation, within the organisation and from the public, and that isn't there at the moment. Now, Alan has highlighted evidence that has been given the Public Accounts Committee, and that's ongoing at the moment. But remember that we have come a very long way where we have senior management within An Garda Síochána prepared to come out publicly and give evidence that is contradictory.
But hold on
for a second, Mick. This has been a significant move forward because of the type of reforms that are taking place within An Garda Síochána, that you're bringing in people from outside that haven't come up through the organisation itself. And with the policing authority now, with the appointment of new management, this is going to continue change.
It's an untenable and unsustainable situation when you have the level of contradiction that we heard at
PAC. The big issue here is that the focus from the opposition is on one individual.
No, it's
and
not, not just,
the impression
no,
has been given for half an hour of this programme that's on for the last 40 minutes, the impression is that by changing one individual, we solved the problem.
No,
there are
no
fundamental problems here within the organisation. And that's the point that I made at that Cabinet meeting. And that's why I pushed for root and branch reform in practical terms. That needs to happen.
Okay.
And it needs to happen quickly.
Right,
not
what needs to happen
not
now
years
is
down the
break,
road.
So I'll take this break. We'll come back after this. A reminder of our panel, we have Minister Dennis Nocton, Dara O'Brien from Fianna Fáil, Alan Kelly from Labour, Christina Finn from the Journal.ie and Michael Clifford from The Examiner. Now, Enda Kenny reports two papers today, has signed up for an Enterprise Ireland trip to America from the 4th to the 9th of June. Christina, this is interesting. Why?
Because we're going to have to keep writing about it, maybe. I have to keep writing the same article. But basically, it seems to be that it is coming to a head, possibly with his leadership next week. But what's interesting, I suppose, with the US trip is it was sort of banding around the place that he'll be heading off to the US. But what the problem is that the votes for the new leadership and the like would be around that point. So is this a case of him heading off to let everyone get
well,
on
if
with the
timeline
job.
Of him making his big mm-hmm. announcement next Wednesday was followed through,
yeah.
then the results would be on the 6th of June. So he would be a leader and Taoiseach for half of the trip.
Yeah.
You're sick of a diary.
I really don't care now.
Well, we all should care, because this is about who's going to be the next Taoiseach.
I've never seen a long goodbye like this. And it's not just his fault, to be fair to him, right? And I don't mean, I'm not being disrespectful to the Taoiseach, but the whole thing between Coveney and Leo and him, it seems to me to nearly be organised, so it's all over the media, so you're talking about it in shows like this, that's in the papers, and I'm absolutely Fine Gael.
But he doesn't do himself any favours.
There's another issue there too, though, and that is that next year the Pope is coming. 2021, Ireland might be hosting the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, so
the
Taoiseach
might hang on to 2021.
Well, he said he wanted to stay right till the end of Brexit or something of the like.
What did he say to you, Ellen?
I spoke to him during the week, and we had a bit of a ding-dong, a bit of a crack on it, and I encouraged him to stay as long as he could.
I bet you did.
I said, although having said that, I did kind of half reference, we was joking, but I did kind of half reference that the way things are going in relation to the Gardaí, that he'll be leading Fine Gael into the general election.
Yeah, I think in all seriousness,
there is a serious element to it, though, as well, is that when we're not we, but our government fixated on this. I'm not talking about Dennis, but the Fine Gael members of cabinet. When you're looking, when I see them in the Dáil, and the Fine Gael TDs in huddles, talking to one guy, talking to the other, how are they focused on the jobs that they're actually supposed to be doing? Because this is taking over everything within their party. And that's a big issue. People
do you
are
not
talking,
agree that it makes so much political sense for Fianna Fáil to pull the plug now while they have no new leader in place?
No, it doesn't.
Great idea for you. You know, if you're really into skullduggery and Machiavelli. No, you're not like that at all, Fianna Fáil.
We're being responsible, and we'll see good our agreement in the interest of...
So you're going to let them elect their new leader?
I'm looking for your posters,
no? No, posters are pulped.
Go through the honeymoon.
Okay, you could be really funny about it, and you could say, right, you'd pull the plug on something. But that doesn't deal with... Isn't election now going to do anything to... For the Oireachtas to tackle and continue to tackle the housing crisis, the health, all the very serious issues, and that's the problem with this. But this is the problem with this thing is that we're talking about Leo and Simon and Enda and all of this when there's real issues that really affect people, and most people out there really don't care what Fine Gael
do.
Just
so that people don't get alarmed, you know, Enterprise Ireland, ID, all these agencies, effectively they'll put dates in the future. The Taoiseach will be listed to do them. Who the Taoiseach is, they're not too bothered about, to be honest, which is they just have to put the date in and have to put the person in. I don't think it actually changes anything. I personally think he probably will be around by then. I think he's going to drag this out as long as he can.
Because there have been issues raised that perhaps when the Fine Gael leadership goes on for the 2 or 3 weeks, that as you said, there'll be the Leo and Simon show, and they both have serious...
You've got one minister for housing, one minister for social protection. They've already spent the whole
year. You're talking
year
about hustings that are going to take place, I think, over a Thursday to a Sunday around the country. They have said that they don't want a live televised debate between the two because they might take chunks out of each other and that could damage the party, but I'm told that they're very much game for it, and now the party
are
pretty much...
Well, they both said they're up for it.
And they're not known to like publicity either of them, really, to be honest with you.
But in all seriousness, Enda Kenny did create this farce, if you want to call it that, himself. You know, he's continually, like he said, after he was going to make his intentions known after St. Patrick's Day, I was over in Washington myself, so that was one of the key questions that we were trying to see. And then we were in New York, and he said, "Oh, sure, the Northern Ireland elections and Brexit and
Rugby World Cup coming."
You know, can you not understand though why he's delaying it? Because he has a successful trip to the States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he has the success of the EU summit, where we get a special mention. Then he has the successful trip to Canada, bar the question from Daniel McConnell, which he didn't like very much about when he was going to leave. Yeah. Then he has Michel Barnier. That goes well. I'd say he's forgotten why he needs to go.
It might well be, but
maybe
he
doesn't need to go.
Dennis, you're being very quiet here. What's
Dennis will end up running the government when this is on.
Well, no, look, I think in fairness to Enda Kenny, and as people would know, I'm not Enda Kenny's biggest fan, but I have say that I think he's done a good job in relation to the Brexit discussions at European level, and I think he was the right person in the right place at the right time regarding that. And he has a huge amount of connections at European level.
So is there a deadline in your head?
No, that's a matter for Fine Gael to decide. Right.
It doesn't bother you either way.
I have an agreement with the Fine Gael party as part of this government, not with any one individual in it. And I'm going to hold up my part of the bargain and expect they will hold up their part.
Have you had any conversations with Leo and Simon about the future? Under
no,
either
none whatsoever.
You'd have a bit of influence there with the old members.
There's a serious element to it. And I think Enda Kenny, the further he gets on from the last election, which was a disaster for him, the more in his mind he's repairing his legacy to some extent. But he's doing it at the cost, as somebody pointed out, of a certain amount of go slow within the government, because very little is actually getting done, and this thing being dragged out. And the other issue is this: Simon, Leo, it's all a personality contest. There's no policy difference. There's no substance in terms of the difference between the two of them. So it's a distraction that we could do without the whole thing.
In fact, you might be doing Fine Gael a service by staying on as long as possible, because when the debate does happen and the lack of substance happens, well, then that'll say a lot about Fine Gael.
I've been speaking to a number of backbenchers who would have been quite critical of his date of departure during the Fine Gael thing.
All very quiet now, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, some of them are mellowing out and said, oh, they'd be happy for him to stay on into June and maybe let the guys have summer to bed in. But then at the same time, you have to consider that a lot of other TDs are saying that he might be best to leave before another scandal, because God forbid something else and he has to leave with a bad taste.
Well, it's a very serious matter. Someone mentioned here that the good job he did, apparently did, in relation to Brexit and the draft terms of reference of the EU. It's good that Ireland's mentioned, so I'll give credit where credit's due. After the UK election, early June, we're into negotiations. So you can't have, like that's serious. Like, when you look at the threat, you look at the IMF report today in relation to the economic threat to Ireland that Brexit poses. Like, you can't have this messing around within Fine Gael of who's going to do what. You've either got to get on and govern, make a decision, and deal with it. We'll keep up our end of the bargain in the confidence and supply arrangement doesn't relate to who is the Taoiseach.
So now you're saying they should get on with the leadership change.
You know what? I'm just thinking, I don't care because I'm sick of hearing about it, but I did say also that the issue about work being done at a government level, and I do care when it means that two very senior ministries, if I'm concerned that work is not being done at the level that it should be, and that effectively, if government and Fine Gael being the main government party, all it is focusing on who's going to be their leader for the last number of months.
One interesting thing, going back to the earlier conversation about the Gardaí, right? We have a Taoiseach who's now obviously leaving very soon, one way or the other, we think. If the Taoiseach was not in that position, he'd have skin in the game in relation to this issue, in relation to the Commissioner. He doesn't really have it now.
That's an interesting
point. Would he be dealing with this differently? Mm. And would he have been dealing with it similarly to the way he dealt with the previous commissioner? Mm. That's a very interesting thing to think about.
Right, we'll take our last break. We've very little time to talk about your portfolio, but sure, we'll do it anyway. You might be delighted that we've very little time.
I think you would have rather speak about that, actually.
A row brewing, I see, with the government chief whip, Regina Doherty, who says that you had promised to put together or to order a report on the viability of putting these interconnectors that she has such an issue with, putting them underground. She says that the terms of reference that you have set out are much narrower than the Houses of the Oireachtas called for. Are you pulling the wool over her eyes, or attempting to?
I'm putting the wool over no one's eyes here. In fact, I was the first minister, I think, since Eamon Ryan, that actually met with the community groups on the ground in both Meath and Monaghan and the surrounding areas. And I listened to what they said. And I think they made valid arguments regarding the whole issue of the costings of underground versus overground, and I think they're legitimate questions that need to be answered. And I was quite willing to look at that. And this review that's going to take place is going to look at those costings. They gave an example.
Sounds like you're already sure that it's going to be prohibitive.
Well, no, they made an argument in relation to the Accrington-Liège route, which was put underground. And I think it is legitimate to look into all of these issues now. And that's what I'm doing. And I spoke with the TDs last week. I'm actually meeting all of the TDs in the area on Tuesday and going through that with them. But what
you're meeting
I'm now,
them together, is it?
Yes, yeah. Okay. What I'm now being asked to do is to carry out a review of a decision that has already been made by Bord Pleanála, that even if something came out of that, it's not binding on the decision that has already been made. But where there is flexibility in relation to this, I'm quite prepared to look at it. And that's why I've circulated the terms of reference. I've published the terms of reference. I'm going to sit down. I've spoke with the TDs before I publish them. I'm sitting down with the TDs again next Tuesday to discuss that. And I have no problem going through it and explaining exactly where I'm coming from.
But you're not willing to change the terms of reference.
Well, look, I'll hear what they have to say, but
Regina's difficulty, I suppose, is that she made some specific commitments in Meath East, as did her colleagues in Meath West. Like, my colleague Thomas Byrne and Shane Castles have been very strong on this issue, and I think Regina's herself is personally concerned more than anything else. But I would remind the minister that the East West interconnector when I came in through Rush and through North Dublin, and my own constituency is actually underground, all the way through, right through Rush.
It's under sea as well.
Under sea, we wouldn't want
to put it under direct current that you would put under sea.
So I think a review is a sensible thing to do. We would generally under the sea, we would put it, but I'm talking when it came on land.
Yes, but, okay, but I've already.
So it can be done.
I've already agreed saying, to
so the minister's got to obviously deal with the chief whip on this and make sure that.
Are reviewing issues like this have a tendency to basically be something to put off until after the next election?
Absolutely. I think if there isn't a general election, I think the fairness
can I say
Regina
here, and Mick has thrown this accusation to me on a second occasion now. Just let me clarify here.
Really quick.
That. We set up a task force to look into rural broadband. We reported on that within 6 months and we're acting on that now. So in relation to this review, it will be turned around within 6 months.
I think the two lads will push this so far that they won't have to deal with it in this government.
Des Cahill and Joanne Cantwell are now going to throw us off air at any second because they're up next with Saturday Sport After News. Thanks to my panel for coming in today. I'll see you Monday night for Clareburn Live on RT1 Television. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thank you for listening. Saturday with Claire Byrne was produced by Kay Sheehy. The broadcast coordinator was David Phelan. Research was by Rona Tarrant and John Riley, and sound supervision was by Noel Roberts.